The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. Can you hear me?
Clinical muscle starts.
The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. Vijay Puri. Along with me, as always, is the star of this production, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Vijay, I'm good, man. Phew. Man. Up early today. We are on time.
I like it.
It is going to be a time crunch this morning for me, man. Yeah, busy week so far.
Yeah. We got a limited time budget here, and so we kind of wanted to, you know, tackle a few of these because we got a bunch of questions, and I want to thank everyone for sending in all these questions. Apparently we're a little more popular than I thought we were. So which is like, you know, I think we have like 15 or 16 listeners instead of like 6. So that's pretty good.
So, man, yeah, my schedule this past week, we're kind of behind because my schedule this past week, and it happens occasionally where I'll get, I'll just work a bunch of shifts in a row. And basically, I've worked six out of the last 7 days, 12-hour shifts. So we just couldn't get together to record. So everyone, we're going to knock out as many of these questions we can this morning. We're going to record again this week, try to knock out 2 shows, and hopefully we'll get them out quick. And and this morning it's going to be a shorter show, I think, because we're on a time crunch because I have a therapy appointment because my fucking elbow is fucked up.
Oh, man. So what's going on? Are you going to do PRP? Is that what's happening?
Well, we're going to do this therapy for about 4 weeks or so, reassess and, you know, see where things are at. I mean, and then if it doesn't get better, we're going to do a PRP injection. Yeah, because – man, we talked about it previously. I had the tendonitis was bothering me. I got a cortisone injection, and it, like, you don't like them. This time it worked out in what you hypothesize all the time. It worked out for about 2 months, and I thought I was good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, came back.
With a vengeance. So, I finally stopped trying to fix it myself, and I turned to a friend and was like, dude, you got to fix me. But on a positive note is I only started therapy last week. He's got me doing some home exercises and things there. And honestly, I think just so I haven't been able to do any pressing. I haven't been able to do any tricep.
Oh, man, that sucks. That's bad. That must be real bad, like really irritated then, huh?
Dude, this is what prompted me to say, okay, fuck it, I can't do this no more. I went to set up for tricep, like cable pull downs with one arm. I like to do them with one arm. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, sure.
I couldn't pull the cable down with no weight on it without pain.
Yeesh.
Yeah, so we're in therapy, and actually, to be honest, I laid off all pressing and all triceps, and I'm doing my chest workouts, and I've been doing every fly movement I can think of, and I can't lie, it's pretty crazy. My chest has been sore. I've been getting good pumps doing that. Man.
Oh yeah. You can get away with doing that for a long time. I've known lots of people with, like, the, you know, upper bicipital tendonitis. Like Scott has upper bicipital tendonitis, you know, over by the origin, and it gets so inflamed he can't hardly ever do any presses. The last 4 years, you know, he's doing mostly fly movements, and yeah, chest has actually come along pretty decently, you know.
No, I got sick pumps from it. I couldn't believe it. So I'm just going to maintain that. I'm trying to force myself not to try anything because honestly, just for this last week, it's feeling like I'm not having any pain really when I'm not doing, like when I'm being normal. Mm-hmm. It was so bad I couldn't take my shirt off. And I just started realizing over the last couple of days, reaching back to pull my face over my shirt,
mm-hmm.
that it's like I can do that. So I'm thinking we'll be good and I might not need the PRP. I'm just going to be done with barbell benching, man. That's what did it. I got back into benching. I was, you know, I'm fucking 44, man, going to be 45, and I was trying to push it a little bit. I'm not a big, strong bencher anyway. I got small joints, and, I shouldn't have been doing that, you know, heavy benching. And
so you think it was barbell? What about dumbbell?
Well, no, man. Dumbbell never seemed to bother me, and I, as long as I do them, see, I think I'll be, you know, I think I'd have been fine. But what happened was, and it wasn't like anything major, but I was benching. I had like 315 on there, and on like my sixth rep, I felt a fucking fire in my elbow, dude, and I racked it and was thinking, oh, I just tweaked something. You know, I knew my elbows had been sore for a while. You know, but so I shook it off and I finished my workout. And then the next day, it just never got better, dude. It was just horrible. And that was like a month ago, I guess now.
Yeah.
So anyway, but now we're feeling better. So I'm just going to force myself not to do shoulder presses and not to do any pushing movements. And I think I'll get this better.
You will for sure get it better. At least you'll alleviate a lot of the inflammation that's going on, even though it's chronic, you know, because you're not irritating it chronically anymore with constant presses every week, you know. So yeah. That'll definitely help. I get the same. I think you're passing your fucking elbow virus onto me because I've got. I mean, in reality, I've had elbow problems for the last, oh gosh, probably 2 years now with just chronic pain. You know,
that's how mine's been, and I've just been kind of worked through it. I figure we're fucking old, right?
Yeah, I know exactly. I mean, I'm not 44 yet, but it's coming, right? So I got a few more years before it's PRP time for me too. I'm guessing. I don't know, but it seems like. Oh man, you know, after like chest day, you know, once I get it warmed up, I'm good. And here's the thing, I cannot lock out. If I start locking out throughout my workout, I will pay for it in dividends, like in the next 3-4 days, you know, even probably the next few weeks. and the worst, and this doesn't even have to do with listing. You know, you get done with your training, your chest training. A couple hours later, you know, you turn a corner. You're just walking around your house, turn a corner, and bang your elbow on the corner of a wall. That will drop you to your knees. It dropped me to my knees yesterday. I was like in tears. I was like, what is wrong with my elbows? It's crazy. It feels like someone just put a dagger in there, you know? It's like, oh my God. So I've got to figure that thing out for myself eventually too. I just don't know.
I know what you mean. Even just the littlest bump.
I could be eating my food on our granite countertops, you know, and just be resting my elbows. You know what I mean? And just that, that alone is enough. I would just be like, man, why do my elbows hurt? Oh, that's right. I remember now. You know.
So my plan is, and you're saying everything that's exactly describing my issues and what I'm. So my plan is, once we get this thing better, where I can get back to doing some pressing, I'm going to stick to dumbbells. And you know, Smith machine stuff doesn't seem to bother me. And the reason I think is because I don't lock out. I keep the range of motion sort of tight.
Yep.
You know, and a good stretch. And so I think that's like when I do, like, I don't do flat on the Smith too much, but incline.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it sort of tight right around my neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I
excellent. Get a good,
and I think once I get this better, that's what I'm going to stick to. And just dumbbell, man, dumbbell chest, fuck the barbell bench. I can't do it. It's just, fuck, I guess I'm not meant to do that too. I mean, it's fucked up.
Some people just are not built to bench, man. Whether it's bar or incline or decline or whatever it else, it's just some people just can't. You'll find, I mean, you may find this too, you know, once you change your training over to just a lot more fly exercises, that you get a lot more growth out of it, you know, over the next few months. That's just a prediction of mine. You know, usually what I've seen is like people who are generally not good benchers or don't respond well to bench, any kind of like any kind of pressing movement, you know, they respond enormously to fly movements. You know?
Well, I mean, I can see that happening because I got sick, a crazy pump, man, just off the first like exercise. I was like, holy shit, maybe I should have been doing this more often. You know,
you know what that is though. You know what that is? That's the junk food, right? That's all the food. You can get it. You can get a pump doing a couple of push-ups. You'd be fine.
Yeah. So I sent you my scale yesterday morning.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, you didn't join it, man. Here's the thing. It's like
222.
As long as like you keep your body fat in check, you know what I mean. Like you're not getting super sloppy. It's fine. Like you know, it's like you can always go on like a mini. You know what I mean? Do like I'm a big fan of the mini diet. So it's like. You know, it intermittently, you know, you feel yourself putting on some weight. You're not looking, not feeling so. That's the thing. If you're not feeling so good, you know you got a problem. You know what I mean? Because, like, certain foods will make you feel a certain way. If you eat a bunch of junk food and continue eating junk food, there's a big difference how you feel, you know, even blood sugar wise versus eating clean foods, like, all the time. You know what I mean?
No, No doubt. And that's actually my plan. I kind of, when the kids start back to school, I'm just going to do a 2 week, 4 week little cleanup.
Yeah. 4 weeks. That's
just
good.
To get things sensitized again. But honestly, I mean, my upper body's still pretty lean. I got veins in my shoulders still and stuff like that.
Yes.
But you know, the only place, my lower back, boy, that's where it all went.
Oh, that, I mean, that's the,
Looked like Jabba the Hutt back there.
You know, it would be great if we were all like, you know, like Shelby Starnes, who carries his body fat like evenly throughout his body. Like, he doesn't have pockets anywhere. It's just like body fat carries evenly throughout his body. It's crazy to see. I'm not
for me in my quads, my legs are always lean.
Yeah, see, it's like, and I'm a lot like you. Like, I don't, like, a lot of my body fat just goes around like my spare tire, and that's it. You know what I mean? It's like love handles, low back. My abs are always there, but you know, they can get, you know, kind of not very,
they're extremely blurred.
Yeah. Blurred, not very sharp looking, you know? So
yeah, mine are really blurred right now, blurred to the point of oblivion.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, that's all so reversible. I mean, here's the deal. Summer's coming down to an end now, right? So, I mean,
yep.
the fun time is probably gonna, you know, come to an end, but now football season is about to start up.
Yeah, so you know what I do? I'm going to do this little mini thing we talked about and then get off it and go back to, you know, sort of a little diet break, because in November I'm going to be doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
As I do that every year, man.
I'm with you, man.
I think you got to diet at least, even if you're not doing a show, you got to diet at least once, because you're, you know, getting lean and that rebound and afterwards is really, I mean, I think that really helps your growth. I think if you just stay in a sort of perma bulk, you're going to stay permanently
fat. Yeah. No, yep. Perma bulk is just fat. You're just fat. You're not putting on any muscle, but you'll put on a lot of fat easily. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of perma bulk. I think it's the stupidest thing ever, but I'm a big fan of the mini diet. Pull it back, pull in the reins, get your metabolism optimized, and then go for it again, and then pull it back again. You know, look, your body works in an ebb and flow type manner anyways, you know what I mean? So it would make sense. It would make sense to keep your caloric intake that way if your concern is body fat and putting on muscle, that sort of thing, you know? So ebb and flow with the diet too, you know what I mean? So just let it roll for a little while, pull it back, and then again, you know, resensitize, make sure things are good to go, and always keep an eye on that mirror, man. Always watch that body fat. Scale weight scale weight's kind of silly, because like, look, you're 222. I bet, you know, 2 weeks on like a real strict plan, you're back down to 205. You know what I mean? It's like so much bloat and body, just bloat, water weight everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I believe it. Because I mean, even if I notice, so the way I do it is, you know, I eat pretty good all day long, and we go out to dinner and stuff. But when I'm working, like this past week, 5 out of 7 days. So that was 5 out of 7 days that I pretty much was on a strict, you know, diet, eating plan.
Mm-hmm.
I ate the same thing every day for 5 out of 7 days. And when I get and that's what I do when I go to work, it's same meals. I do the same thing. And then my days off is when I kind of lax a little bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, just after 3 days of working and 3 12s in a row on my diet, I can see a physique difference, like a little different. You know, I can tell that if I continued that, like you said, it would just be water dropping and stuff like that. And that's kind of what happens when I diet every time. I lose like 7 pounds in the first week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck, I can lose 7 pounds overnight.
You can gain 20 overnight, too.
I can, yeah. So, but, man.
You know what's crazy? I weighed myself just yesterday morning when I sent you that picture. And I went to bed last night, weighed myself again just for fun. And I was like, okay, it's going to say 232. And it was only up 2 pounds.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's not bad at all. And that just means
like
that must mean that you're just you're at your like your water limit. You know what I mean? Like
I'm going to explode soon.
Yeah, it's like you're just no more is what your body's saying at the nighttime. Yeah. So that's not bad at all. I mean, you know, that's like it's so reversible at this point, but. You know, you got to play with it and optimize those meals. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so I don't know.
What's funny is I was saying, you know, everyone's like, you know, you got to push the food to get big. If I consciously pushed food to the point of like power shoveling food, like people do to put on mass.
Yeah, not good.
I would be 260 looking like a meatball in I don't know, a month.
Yeah.
I don't even try to eat a lot. That's just my horrible shit fat boy metabolism. It's crazy. It's no matter what, man. It's always been like that. I'm a total endomorph, man. For sure. Like Barney fucking Rubble. I've said it before.
Barney Rubble. I can picture you with those big giant feet. You know, you're driving your car down the road. You've got like your feet are kickstarting the car. You know what I mean? Like in the bottom.
Could you see me wearing the little dress thing too? Little boobies hanging.
Oh man, I would do it with you. It'd be funny. We carry clubs around. It'd be hilarious. Man, so hey, check this out for listeners for Clinical Muscle. Our star of the production here, Dr. Stephen Ogden, was on Cerebral Entertainment Podcast with Colt Percato and James. I forget his last name. James Jam. And that's not a bodybuilding show per se. They basically just talk about everything, you know, all their interests, you know what I mean? And bodybuilding is a small facet of those. But they had you on the show, and I got to hear just you, and that was awesome, man. That was a great show. That was fun. It was put together real well. The guys asked some really cool questions. There was real good chemistry, good flow, and it you know how good that show was? It was so good that I was, like, upset when it was ending. I was like, what, that's it? That's it? I was like, you know, it wasn't that.
Oh, that's good to hear.
It's like probably like, I don't know, what, maybe like an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm getting reviewed by the nerds right now.
You're definitely. It's a mini review. We'll go more in depth next time. But for any of our listeners that want to catch more Dr. Ogden, go check out the Cerebral Podcast. Cerebral Entertainment Podcast on YouTube. I think they're on iTunes also now.
Yep, they're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. They're on iTunes. Yeah. And I think, what's the new thing Scott has us out on? Stitcher. I think they're on that too, but definitely iTunes and YouTube for sure.
Yeah, so go check them out, man. They're a good couple of really good dudes. I got the pleasant opportunity of getting to meet Colt Percato this past year at the Arnold Classic, and he's just a good, genuine dude, man. So go check him out, give him some support, and I really love the show, man. We'll talk more about it on Bodybuilding Nerds Radio.
Yeah, it was a fun time. It was pretty cool. I mean, I was kind of like, you know, I was like, you know, talking about myself a lot, but mostly I talked about you. Really.
Jeez, I'm like a worm. I just penetrate into your brain and just lay at
you. Yeah, I mostly talked about you and Scott and advices, but you know, they just were asking me pretty good questions about myself, which to me was kind of weird. Not in a weird, like, you know, I just, like, you know, who, like, why do people, like, why would anyone want to hear about me? But anyway, Yeah, I mean, but anyway, I mean, honestly, I always told you this. There's stuff that I can't even talk about. I have to wait till I retire. Things that happened to me when I was young and things I did when I was young. And sometimes I really wish I could just, you know, put everything out there now, because honestly, man, I was a fuck up. I came a long way, bro. And so anyway, it's funny when I'm thinking they're asking me questions. I'm like, God, if I could only tell them this, you know, but I can't.
Yeah.
Because it's all in denial.
We got to wait till you retire. Then we can bring out the real good stories.
Then we write the fucking telltale book. But it was cool, man. Guys, check it out. It's, if nothing else, you got something else to listen to. And they're cool dudes. They're great laid back dudes. I mean, and Colt, we sat together at the Arnold. So that was cool. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was fun, man.
Yeah, good, man. Great show. Good times. I'm glad they had you on. That was awesome. Hey, they had Scott on too, I believe, too, right?
Yeah, I listened to it. That was a great show.
That was a good show too. Yeah. So, man, they're putting out some good stuff over there, and their interests are very wide. Like, if you go through through their, like, episode by episode, you know, and stuff they talk about, it's like all over the place. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it definitely keeps you entertained for sure. So I guess, you know, today is August 23rd. 2017. We should probably just, you know, give a moment of silence here for our bodybuilding loss here yesterday. Dallas McCarver passed away at their ripe age of 26 years old. And it was all real unfortunate incident too, you know. I mean, from what we understand, for what information is out there right now, you know, he passed away basically from choking. You know, there was an obstruction in his throat. His training partner, Josh Larnowitz, found him unconscious, face down, with an obstruction in his throat. Now, you know, people need to respect the dead. You know what I mean? I just think, you know, that people just need to, you know, I'm not, I am a conspiracy guy. You know, I would admit that, but sometimes things just happen, you know, and things don't have to really make sense. You know what I mean? Dallas is 340 pounds. He's just enormous, man. You know, he's 6 foot, you know, so he carried it decently well. He's an athletic guy. It's just that, you know, when you are that big, man, you know, I think. Look, I liken it to this. My English Mastiffs are the greatest breed on earth to me, but they are a giant breed. You know what I mean? And as a result, their life expectancy is nothing like it, like a toy breed or something. You know what I mean? It's like they have that life expectancy of like 8 to 10 years, which is heartbreaking to think about. You know, when you know, Yorkies and shit have a life expectancy of 15, 16 years, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, what your body can take. You know, I don't know if that obstruction caused some sort of cardiac event or the other way around, you know, anything's possible. We don't know. But it's just, it's just so unfortunate. You know what I mean? It just, it was hard to digest, really, you know?
Yeah. When I saw that, actually, Scott, you know, what's funny is we were just talking, us three, yesterday morning, and I was about some podcasts that were coming out, and we were kind of going back and forth about who's on where, what's going on. We were doing things and I said to you guys, you know, I was driving to work, listening to Heavy Muscle Radio. And I said to you guys, oh, Aaron's on. And you said, no way. You know, and I said, they're talking about a liftoff between Dallas and Akeem. Mm-hmm. You know, sometime after the Olympia, and, you know, we were like, oh, that would be cool. And no, 15 minutes later, Scott texts us, Dallas, you know, passed away. And I was like, what the fuck? And, you know, you hate to say it, but you automatically start thinking things, you know, in your head. But you know what? Like you said, keep that shit to yourself until you know really what's going on. I mean, I'm already seeing people posting stuff on Facebook about, you know, choking and I mean, come on, man. You know, 26 years old. From all accounts, great guy. And who cares if he wasn't a great guy? I'm just saying, you know, 26 years old, no one deserves to be gone.
No.
His family, he's got a mom, he's got a girlfriend, he's got people that love him. That's fucking tragic, dude. And if he really did asphyxiate to death, he knew it. And that is really hard to think about.
Hard. That's such a, oh my, it's such a scary thing to experience, you know, on your own. But I can only imagine, like, that's a terrible way to go. You know?
Yes. If he knew it, that is horrible. I don't even want to think about it. It actually gives my fucking stomach like knots.
Yeah.
I think about my kids.
Oh,
and,
my gosh. Yeah. It's
and yeah,
it's
you know, he's a bigger guy.
Sure.
So, you know, you don't know. That's the story so far from what we know. But I guess I'm sure they'll do an autopsy. And like you said, it could have went either way. You know, he could have choked to death. And obviously that's going to cause asphyxiation and a pulmonary, you know, and cardiac arrest or God knows, maybe he had some kind of cardiac event and had food in his mouth. They won't know that until they absolutely get an autopsy report back. And who knows, maybe they'll never release that information. You'll never really know, but it doesn't really matter, man. It's fucking 26 years old, prime of his life. I would venture to say he wasn't even in the prime of his life, 26 years old.
No, not yet.
He had his whole future ahead of him, man. There's so much opportunity for that kid.
Oh, man, such a bright, bright future. It's truly a shame, you know?
It's fucking horrible. Mm. It is. That was shocking. And you know what else I got to say? And I haven't heard too much about it, and he hasn't released anything, but you got to feel horrible for Jocelyn Ardowitz too.
Oh, that's what a nightmare to walk into.
Total,
you know,
nightmare. You just came there. My
gosh,
you, like, just moved in. You just moved in there with that guy, and you're the last one. You know, you're caught in that scene, and that's God. He's gonna have like PTSD. For sure,
trauma. That's such a traumatizing event. I can't imagine being in his shoes, because he's the one who did that to do like the initial resuscitation, you know, or at least attempts at resuscitation. And oh my God, just that's just a mentally scarring event. He'll literally never ever probably get over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, you think things like, this is all the stuff I was thinking. Like, now he's over there in his house. Does he leave? Does he stay? Mm-hmm. He's in turmoil. Well, he's probably fucking mentally just depressed and, mm-hmm. you know, unbelievable. That's just a horrible, whole situation sounds bad, man. And I give, you know, condolences to his family and anyone else who loved and knew him. And that's just a big time loss for, you know, bodybuilding, but really just a kid, man. You know, it doesn't matter whether he's a bodybuilder or not. That's horrible.
Yeah, man. But let's give a quick
moment. Well, now that we're fucking depressed, so.
Yeah, we'll give a quick moment of silence for Dallas, and then we'll crack on with some of our questions here.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy. From the Advices Radio Network on the forums there, you can go to forum.advicesradio.com. Look up, I think you go to like the bodybuilding discussion and then click on clinical muscle. Apparently, we're number one on the little sticky note there. So I don't know what that says about people giving their trust to us at this moment, but that's the first sticky if you click on that thing. So you can submit your questions right on that sticky, on that little thread there. And people have been doing that lately, and it's been awesome, man. We have we've got a lot of questions here, and that's kind of why we got to stick this into two shows, because, you know, we got to catch up here. Also, clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. If you're not a forum guy, you can remain anonymous on the forums too. Just so people know, you know, if that's what their main concern is. But of course, we will always accept the clinicalmuscle@gmail.com questions, and we have a few of those to answer today too. So, Doc, what do you say we get tackling here?
Yeah, let's knock them out, man.
First question here from the boards. What's up, ladies? Just registered, but longtime listener. My question, saw this website sponsor on a contest poster at the gym. The site is www.helplowt.com. I was intrigued since I have been thinking about looking into TRT and seeing if I'm a candidate based off of blood work, etc. I just turned 42. I'm 5'8", 197, and an average Joe gym rat, and look pretty good for my age. Not interested in bodybuilding, just to maintain or build a little more muscle and get leaner. I have a doctor's appointment with my new family doctor in a month, and also plan to ask him about TRT. Not sure what to expect, since it seems like most doctors are clueless or won't broach the topic. So my backup was maybe looking into a doctor at the website mentioned. Could you guys check the site out and let me know if it looks legit or shady? You don't need to mention the site name or doctor name. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Well, we already did.
Yeah, so. I don't know the doctors, but I'm actually clicking on that link right now. So, Doc, did you get a chance to check out that site or anything? Or
I actually went above and beyond.
All right. I'm glad one of us is.
No, what's that? Say it again.
I'm glad one of us is.
Yeah, not only did I check out the website, I called them.
Hell yeah, Doc.
I called this place, and I asked some pertinent questions about credentials. I found out where they're located, talked to their office manager. And so actually I got a 50-50 vibe about the place. So let me tell you. So number one, it is legit. The doctor does do TRT. This place is not actually that far away from me. I can't remember off the top of my head what his he was board certified in, but it wasn't endocrinology. I think he might have been a physiatrist. Okay, so a rehab doctor, a PM&R doctor. Don't quote me on that. In other words, they're the guys that help people with, you know, you have a stroke or you know muscle stuff. Mm-hmm. Just a rehab doctor. So yeah. A specialist. Pretty sure he was a physiatrist. So that's board certified in that. I talked to. So started off the conversation. I called the number from the helplowt.com website, and a young lady answered, and I said, told her who I was. I said, my name is Dr. Stephen Ogden. I am calling in, to get some information on your doctor so-and-so here, because I have a client or a friend who's interested in his services. He's got low testosterone, and he's just wants to make sure that this place is real. He doesn't want to end up on some sketchy, you know, doctor website where it's a fake doctor or whatever. And so the conversation started off like that. And the girl that answered the phone, for the first few minutes, I got a little bit of bad vibe. And here's why. When I called the number, she answered, I'm going to use a fake name. Hi, this is Chrissy, Philadelphia Pain Management. or something like that, or, you know, Minnesota, whatever it was. I can't remember where it was, but, and so I'm like, pain management. I'm like, well, I'm calling in regards to testosterone replacement. And this doctor, do you do that? And she said, I'm not sure. Let me get Missy on the phone.
What
to
the
find
fuck?
Out.
Okay.
Yeah. So right off the bat, I was like, not good. So, okay. So there, that was a red flag for a second. So then this other lady comes on the phone who was very knowledgeable, who was super nice. And it turns out that they share the office with a pain management group on different days. The girl who answered the phone works for the pain management group, knew nothing about this other doctor. The lady who I spoke to was his who was his coordinator. And yes, he has a couple offices. He comes there a couple days a week. So a lot of doctors do rent spaces. And if you call one day, it may say Delaware cardiology. And the next day you could call and it might say Delaware gastroenterology. And you're like, the fuck? You know, because some doctors have part-time sites. So that was a bit of a red flag, but after talking to this lady, the doctor is board certified in, I think it was physiatry, which is rehab, you know, which is PMNR. He does do TRT. He has a, interest in that, and he's board certified. So all I could say is sounds legit. He has two offices. I got a little red flag when she said pain management. I was like, I could picture the one story we had where the guy pulled up in the alleyway and there was drug addicts everywhere. And then he got two fingers up the butt. Do you remember that?
Yes, of course. Yeah. My favorite story. Yes.
But then after talking to this other lady who she put on the phone, I think this is probably real. Like, I think it's legit. I think the guy would help you. It's not an online. It's not like Titan Medical. It's a physician you need to make an appointment with and go see him. He'll do your blood work. And he'll prescribe your TRT if you need it. I would say it's worth a shot. Just be mindful of your surroundings. If you get there and it's, you know, back alleyway, you know, think about twice about that.
Yeah.
But, I did talk to her and I was on the phone to her for a good 10, 15 minutes. So man, I would say give it a shot. If it's in your area and this is something you're interested in, it can't hurt unless you get there and it looks really bad, but it did not sound bad to me. It sounded legit. The guy's board certified. He does TRT as part of his, you know, I guess practice. And, he has apparently two offices. I suspect he does TRT in one office and probably does his physiatry or whatever does in another office. So yeah, I checked it out, man. That's the best I could do for you.
Man, you that was awesome. You went above and beyond the call of duty there, Doc. So that was hats off to you.
I did that while seeing 100 patients in 12 hours.
Wow. See, now I feel like a lazy fucker because I didn't do jack shit. And here's why. It's because I like to be surprised with the questions. You know, I didn't know that we were gonna have homework. You know, so now I gotta start reading these questions ahead of time. I like to like just read them and boom, answer questions. You know, but this one needed some research. So I'm looking at the website right now, and the first thing that rings a bell for me and kind of puts up a little bit of a flag is that there's nothing about this doctor on here. Like, you know, there's always like the tabs about like a home, signs of low T, contact us, like our Facebook page. Right. That's cool. But there should always be a link that says about our physician, about our doctor, meet our doctor. Where's the fucking doctor? He's not on here anywhere. You know what I mean? He doesn't have his story or her story. There's no certifications or degrees or anything here, you know, that describes him or anything. All there is, you know, about low T, make an appointment. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't know. My first opinion of this and understanding, you know, what your interaction with their office manager who didn't even realize they did fucking testosterone management. I don't know. I just think there's a lot better options out there. I don't know. He might be legit. I don't know. It's worth a shot, like the doctor says. But I would go somewhere else. Look, this guy's a physiatrist. Okay, that's his bread and butter. This is a side gig for him. All right.
Right. And that's the impression I felt like I got too.
You want to go to someone whose main gig is testosterone replacement, is, you know, HRT. That should be their main gig. You know, it should be a side gig. You know, that just tells me that this guy is just looking for, you know, some more means of income versus a guy or a gal who specifically does hormone management for people. And that, you know, that tells me that that person is passionate about what they do and are going to be willing to probably, you know, it's not that they're not willing to help you or that we were willing to help you. It's that they could probably do a better job. It just my opinion, based on how they treat patients, on what they offer, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, you may be on the something. That's why I asked about what he was certified in physiatry. And, you know, I was kind of like, what's that got to do with it? But the fact is that, you know, if it's close to you and you want it, I would tread lightly, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
If you want to check it out, check it out. If it seems shady or, you know, he wants you to come in and pay $200 every week or whatever, then I would. And obviously there's always going to be better options. And you could probably find some better options from places online that some sponsor some of these, like, you know, RX Muscle and some other places. And maybe one day we could get a sponsor. TFT.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's what I'm trying to work on.
Scott McNally.
Yeah.
Because those, you know, that's all they do, you know. So anyway, I called. Had a couple red flags, had a couple positive things. I would just say, if you want to check it out. Tread lightly. He is a physician. He really does do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a side gig or
yeah. And here's another thing on the just as a side. You click on that link. It, you know, takes you to that website. It doesn't give that much information. Just gives some symptoms of low T, whatever. And then it has a Facebook page. You know, like our Facebook page. You click on that link, and that Facebook page doesn't exist. So I don't know what's going on over there, man. But someone's not managing things correctly, or maybe they just don't care about marketing. I don't know. Some doctors are like that, man. So some doctors just don't give a shit about marketing, but they're brilliant, you know? So I don't know, man. Just try it and give it a, you know, it's worth a consult at least, you know?
Yeah.
And then take it with a grain of salt and make your decision from there. Next question here. Let's jump to the emails here. And then we'll jump back over to the forums here. Hey guys, so I went to the ER for an unrelated incident, and they took some basic labs for me. When they took my blood, I was about 1 month into a cycle of 750 milligrams of Testy, 70 milligrams, Winstrol, 30 milligrams, Superdrol, 70 milligrams, Anavar, all oral and daily. I don't know if he means 750 milligrams of Testy daily, or if he means that, you know, once a week or what, but
God, I hope that
he didn't really clarify, you know.
I'm hoping it's not daily.
I'm hoping it's once a week. I was worried because I thought my RBC and AST ALT liver enzymes would be severely out of range, and then I'd have to explain my situation. Anyways, as you can see, and he sent us his blood work, thank you very much. The only thing that was elevated was my blood glucose, which was due to the fact that I had a high carb meal about an hour before the labs had been drawn. My question is more about the RBCs and AST/ALT. What gives? Why aren't my liver values higher? Not that I'm complaining, but I know that I have real stuff as it's from a legit supplier. And I'm also getting pretty great gains in both strength and size. Traps, arms, legs exploded. Gained 15 pounds in a month while still staying lean, or possibly even getting even more lean. Can you guys shed some light on this as to why my levels aren't that bad? By no means am I going to blast orals, but I just wanted to see how my body responded. If you need any more info, let me know. As always, I appreciate the help and love the show. So I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at his blood work here. And yeah, his blood glucose is like, I wouldn't even bat an eye at that, number one. That's like slightly high. That's nothing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if he's after a high carb meal, that's
an nothing. An hour after a high carb
that's
meal?
That's actually good.
That's an astronaut. I'd be curious to know what his baseline levels are. I bet they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I noticed were he's probably battling some sort of an infection or something. I don't know, because his monocytes, eosinophils are high end, not super high. I've seen them higher, but they're still high enough to let me know that he's battling some sort of infection. That's really, everything else looks pretty good as far as, you know, your basic lab work goes. It's like, you know, his ALT and his liver enzymes altogether. I'd be interested to know what his GGT was, but yeah, you know, that's not on here. That's more of a better.
Yeah, the ER is hardly ever going to do that unless it was a really high or something.
Yeah, it gives you a better approximation of actual liver values.
Yeah,
and these are I wouldn't even bat an eye at this. I don't know why. I can't really say why. I'd imagine that he's. He's very fortunate, maybe, I could say.
Here's what it came down to for me after I read that. And I'm – well, first of all, I don't know if he mentions his age, so I don't know. I mean, listen, if you're a younger guy and you're in great health and you have good genetics, you may be able to tolerate something like that for some time. And did he say how long he had been doing that?
Well, a month.
I mean,
you know, a month of 100
and Superdraw being one of them. I 100, mean, you know,
he said 180 milligrams a day of orals. You know what I mean?
God, that's making my liver hurt. But, you know, the thing, I agree with you, Beach. I don't know. I guess that it comes down to maybe he's very fortunate and he has good genetics and he has a healthy, strong liver and he maybe doesn't take anything else that could interfere with that. We also don't know if he's taken any Tutka or is he taking Liv-5-2 with it?
Sure.
Is he taking, you know, liver cleanse? I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there because those may – They may help to keep them enzymes down. There's a bunch of other things, but really with that level of orals, and those ones are pretty, you know, aside from the Anavar, the Winstrol and the Superdraw can definitely increase your liver enzymes good.
Fuck yeah. Superdraw alone at 30 milligrams.
I think it comes down to, I hate to say it, luck. He's fortunate. He has good genetics right now. He's probably younger. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. But yeah, if he is younger, it's probably just because he's young and can tolerate. Listen, this is not related to steroids or bodybuilding. In fact, it's related to the exact opposite, fat stuff. So when I was young and partying, I could drink fucking 70 beers watching a football game and wake up and go to work the next morning and feel nothing.
Yeah, or wake up and do it all over again.
And wake up and do it all over again. You know, now I drink two beers at, you know, and a steak from Applebee's, and I'm falling asleep in the car on the way home with a hangover. So, you know,
with a hangover.
You know what I mean? So it's like, genetics, maybe youth, and maybe some other supplements he's taking that are helping. We don't know that because he didn't mention it. That's my sort of synopsis.
You know, I what I can tell him is that.
It's going to catch up to you.
It may catch up to him. It may not. Like I said, we don't know what his age is. He may be a 40-year-old guy. We don't. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we don't know. My advice is to. I don't know how long he plans on doing this oral blast, but when he's done with the blast, go get blood work again, just to see what, you know, your RBCs and your liver enzymes, and make sure you get a GGT. On your liver enzyme values, because that'll give you a better idea. Because his AST and ALT may be in range, and then his GGT might be slightly out of range. We don't know because it's not there. And by the time his oral blast is over, you know, maybe his GGT is even higher at that point. We don't know. But what I can say is that you definitely just got to keep an eye on it. You know, just to be safe. That is a lot of orals to be blasting, even if it is for a 4-week period or whatever, you know?
Yeah, well, obviously we're not condoning that. We're just giving you the information. And here's the thing, you know, that you don't want to make a habit of that. He already said it. He's not going to make a habit of that.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm surprised too. I mean, his blood work pretty much was stellar. It almost looks like he's on nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be honest, and I agree with you. He's got, you know, his differential on his white blood cell count. Yeah, it could be a little infection. It could be allergies doing that too. Those monocytes and eosinophils are sometimes indicative of allergies. So if he's walking around with a stuffy nose and red eyes, he probably has allergies. But anyway,
yeah, right on.
Yeah nothing crazy. But yeah, man, I don't know. That's I would say just really be careful and monitor it because you know either you got really good genetics or you're young and healthy or you're taking a good supplement. I don't know. Let us know.
Yeah,
if you're taking a liver supplement because that might be something. Everyone needs the day.
I wonder what his blood pressure is. Just
curious.
Oh,
right. We don't know that either.
You know, here's the thing. Like, if he's on all this stuff, he's on these orals every day, And his blood pressure is really good. He's just a fucking freak then. You know what I mean? He's just, yep. He could probably get away with this for a very long time. Not that I'm condoning it, but
exactly.
I mean, just looking at the evidence, I can tell you that if his blood pressure is well within range or even very good, like say, I don't know, like 110 over 70 at these doses, the guy is a fucking freak show and a pinnacle of health, you know? So, just keep an eye on it, but definitely keep an eye on that. The one thing every bodybuilder should do is watch your blood pressure, especially on cycle.
Agreed.
And that's the best thing he can do. You know, and of course, once this blast is done, or even within 8 weeks, so let's just say 8 weeks from now, go get another blood work done, and just make sure all your liver enzymes are checked, your RBCs, GGTs, and go from there. I keep us posted. I'm interested now. Now he's like a case study for me. I'm just like, wow. How can we get his enzymes up now? what would it take? You know, what would it take to get his fucking enzymes up? I don't know. But
some halotestin.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Sixty milligrams of halotestin.
I know nothing about any of that, so that's all you.
I don't know, man. That's pretty crazy. It's blood work looks great. He's very fortunate, I can tell you. But definitely watch that blood pressure and keep us posted, man. I'm interested. I'm very interested.
It's crazy, man. I would expect you to see something somewhere too, but
something.
Yeah.
Anything, you know. Let's head back to the forums here. Question from the forums. Hey, guys, love the show, and thanks for taking the time to answer questions. On the last episode, you guys talked about fiber, and it had me thinking of something that Tony Freeman likes to do, which is the colonic irrigations. Unlike an enema, which only cleans out the rectum, the colonic cleans out the whole large intestine, if I'm not wrong. I've heard people removing like 10 pounds of gunk from their large intestine. What do you guys think about it, and have either of you tried it? And another unrelated question, please. What is the highest hemoglobin, RBCs, and hematocrit numbers that you guys have seen where you thought the guy was going to stroke out at any minute? Let's tackle that first part of the question first, colonics. Colonic irrigations. What do you think about those?
I can say I've never ordered one.
Yeah.
I've never ordered one. I've never tried it. I think it's, you know, one of those alternative medicine things, health things, sort of, you know, along the lines of acupuncture and, you know, sort of, you know, I'm just like, you know, alternative. Listen, I don't know much about it. I get nervous about sticking things in me and flushing it with hoses and things. I don't want to perforate my gut. But I mean, I've heard some people like Tony Freeman who swear by them. And I know actually there, I had some patients and it was a cultural thing. I forget what country they were from, but they were big on it. And they did it all the time and they swore that it helped with their, you know, sugar and their cholesterol and their health and their, you know, overall well-being. I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's any medical journals out there on this kind of stuff. So I really can say same thing. If it's something someone's into and they like it, same with this, you know, going to get cryo frozen and, give it a shot if you want. I'm not into it. I never tried it. I wouldn't, you know, do it or recommend it. I don't know. It's just, I just don't know enough about it. I think it's one of those things people do it and they go, it worked. It felt great. I'm going to do it again. Okay. Do it again. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah. One word comes to mind and that's placebo.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if it makes you feel good and who knows if it's doing something right. Good.
Yeah. I just, you don't mess with the guts, man. You don't force a cleaning like that. There's nothing in your body that does that for other than diarrhea. You know what I mean? And you're getting diarrhea for a reason. You know what I mean? There's no reason to clean out your entire large intestine. The purpose of your large intestine is to reabsorb water, and you've got a shit ton of really good microbiome.
Bacteria. I mean, that could be just the opposite, exactly. Yeah.
So when you clear out, look, your microbiome, your gut flora is in your large intestine and small intestine. If you go fucking about with your microbiome, you're not doing yourself any favors, all right? You're basically asking your body to rebuild that microbiome. You're not going to be able to absorb water as well. You're not going to be able to assimilate foods as well until the microbiome has picked back up again. And that takes time. You know, it's not just done, you know, one and done. You know, it's not it takes weeks to re-engage that microbiome. When you flush everything out, you're getting rid of everything. There's not that much bad stuff in your colon, okay? Hardly anything at all. If there were, you'd be fighting infections left and right. You know what I mean? But you don't. You know, think of all the garbage people put in their bodies, and they still have healthy rectums and healthy large intestines. You know what I mean? So flushing out your large intestine doesn't make any sense at all to me. And I don't, you know, I understand the placebo effect and people. This is a fad thing, okay?
And that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, that's the word. I said, you know, alternative medicine and whatever. Yeah, I agree. That's a good word. That's a good word.
And look, I love Tony Freeman. Okay, he's a legend in the sport, but you can't take advice from a lot of these fucking genetic freaks, okay? Because what works for them is not going to work for you. Anything. You can be doing anything, and it won't work for you, all right? You could train legs the same way he trains legs. It's not going to work for you. Eat the same way. It's not going to work for you. Do a fucking large intestine colonic. It's not going to work for you, okay? So everyone's very different, and when you're dealing with top-level IFBB pros like that and legends in the sport, they're – genetic makeup is way different than you or I's. All right. So there is, you know, it's almost like you can look at these guys and just forget about doing anything that they do, because it's not going to work. It really isn't, you know. I don't know, man. I don't know what else to say about colonic irrigations. I just think it's a bad idea altogether, really. I don't like I understand the whole it makes it feel better or whatever. I really think that's a placebo effect. I can't imagine it making you feel better. I think that it's – I just – you know, I've never done it myself, so I guess I can't really say one way or another. But understanding science and understanding what the large intestine is for, it makes no sense to go in there and irrigate. You know what I mean? This is not your – this is the large intestine. This isn't your integument system. This isn't your skin. You take a shower, you feel better. You know what I mean? You irrigate your skin, you feel better, of course, because that's what's one of your one best ways of eliminating toxins is through your skin. You don't eliminate toxins through your large intestines. Get the fuck out of here with that.
You know what's so funny is I have nothing else to add, by the way. But you know what's so funny? I'm sitting here listening to you, right? And I feel like I'm listening to a podcast, and I'm cracking up at you because you're fucked. So that's fucking weird. That was just a weird sensation I just had. I felt like I was listening to you, and you know, like I'm listening, and except I'm talking to you at the same time. It's funny.
It's surreal. I had my podcast voiced on. You know what I
mean? Yeah, totally. It was great.
I was going off on a tangent because it was upsetting you.
It was upsetting.
So no, funny. I haven't tried it. I don't think I will, and there's no reason for it.
I'm not sticking nothing up my butt. I already have it exploded once. I'll need to have it again.
you have enough ass problems as it is. You don't need it
anymore. Fuck yes, I do. Yeah. Shit.
How is your ass now? I mean, is it can you
that ass problem. No, I'm good, man. I was squatting last week. I was there doing reps. You know? Yeah, I'm good to go. I'm Smith machine. I like to do the Smith machine.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the Smith machine. Like you were talking earlier about, you know, doing presses on the Smith machine. I'm a huge fan of the Smith machine. Problem is, my gym that I would usually train at, I train at my own gym at my house, but I would specifically go to the South Lyon Powerhouse here in town and I would specifically go there just because they had this one Smith machine. It's an old school Smith machine. It's upright. You know what I mean? It's not at a fucking angle.
Yeah, yes.
I despise those fucking angle Smith machines for pressing. So they got rid of that thing and they replaced it with one of these brand new state of the art ones that's fucking like at a 45 degree angle. What the shit am I supposed to do on that thing? You know what I mean?
I hate that. Yeah, that's stupid.
Straight up and down though is so. I love that kind of a Smith machine for incline presses, for bench presses. You know, it makes my life easier on my shoulders, makes my life easier on my elbows. I love that. So but fuck, they're going like. Like they're becoming ancient. Like people don't. I don't know why.
You know what Smith machines I like? I like the ones with the skinny bars.
Yes, I like the skinny bars too.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's what this one had. This one was upright. Had the skinny bar. You know, it wasn't counterweighted either. It was like 45-pound bar. You know,
right? Exactly.
So I don't know what these gym people are doing, man. I don't know why they're getting rid of good pieces of equipment.
Yeah, we're going off on a tangent, but you know these newer box gyms stuff. They're going more for aesthetics than they are for function and weight training. If it looks pretty, they'll buy it.
Oh Jesus!
I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, look at all the They all got bright colors. I don't give a fuck about the color.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, yeah, okay. We're definitely tangential right now.
But it's like, you know, what I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me and my own body, but what good does an Angle Smith machine do for you other than doing like a hack squat? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck else does it do for you? Nothing. What? Like, you're not pressing behind your head. Like, you know, it's like you want to just press above your chest. You don't want to go past your fucking forehead, do you? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
I definitely don't with my elbows.
Yeah. But look, he's got some other questions. He said, what is the highest hemoglobin, RBCs, and hematocrit numbers that you guys have seen when you thought the guy was going to stroke out at any minute? Doc, Dan, you've seen a lot more of these than I have, so you tackle this one for me.
This is more up my alley as opposed to putting a fucking fire hose in your butt. So, yeah, I mean, for me, okay, so if you're a, you know, let's say, you know, high LabCorp number would be 17.5. You know, if you're a point above that, 18.5, I'm probably not going to get too upset. If you're a guy who's 18.5 and you're running a gram a test, and you just started back on a cycle, I might be like, dude, you're going to be 22 in 3 days and explode. So, I guess for me, really anything outside the normal range requires me to be mindful and monitor that. But I'll be honest with you, when someone gets above 19 in the 20 area, that's really where you may need a you know, you got to either give blood or get a therapeutic phlebotomy done. That's when I start to worry about people having complications, let's say, you know, 19, 20. If you're 17, 17.5, 18, and, you know, maybe you were dehydrated when you got the blood work done and we repeat it and it's down a half a gram or and you're not doing things. You're not an enhanced athlete. You're just a normal person. Maybe I keep an eye on it. Maybe I'd send you to an endo, not because I think you're going to have, excuse me, not an endo, a hematologist, not because I think you're going to stroke out, maybe just to make sure you don't have like polycythemia rubra vera or something like that. But yeah, man, once you get around 19, 20, that's high. That's when you need to do something about it. That's what I've taken in through my experience working with patients who are like not just regular people, you know, not athletes, not people on steroids or whatever the fuck else. My patients who have like chronic polycythemia problems, when they're around 19, their hematologist is usually addressing that. That's just a trend I've noticed. I don't think it's in literature. I mean, I haven't even looked, but so yeah, man, 19, 20 problem, like got to fix that. It shouldn't even get that high, but I'm just answering your specific question.
So, I mean, there's a couple of values for hematocrit. You know, you're saying 18, 19,
and then hemoglobin. I'm sorry.
Hemoglobin. Oh, okay. Hemoglobin.
I'm a hemoglobin guy. I like to look at the hemoglobin, man. That's something I feel comfortable with. So I was talking hemoglobin. So
okay.
Hemoglobin wise. Sorry about that.
Hemoglobin. Okay. So I'm more of a hematocrit guy. When I see a high hematocrit, that's what freaks me out. You know what I mean? Because that's essentially like the sludge. You know what I mean? Right. Like the sludge in your veins and arteries and stuff.
Yeah, they go hand in hand though.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Hemoglobin's climbing. So for me, I've always looked at it's easy for me to look at hemoglobin. I know a lot of people talk about hematocrit. Now, honestly, if you're looking at most doctors, probably would look at hemoglobin. The hematocrit would be something secondary that goes with it, but they're all the RBCs are going to be elevated. If you're like the hemoglobin's 19, 20, everything's going to be up.
You're right.
Hematocrit's going to be 55, 60, or, you know, I don't know. I'm making numbers up, definitely.
You're right.
Hemoglobin. That's just a good reference for me.
Yeah. I forgot what there's like a calculation like they use for like if your hemoglobin is like, say, 16 or 17, there's like a you like multiply it by a value and you can typically get your projected hematocrit number.
I think it might be hemoglobin times
three. It's like three or something like that, or is it three or four?
Two, yeah. I forget. It's been a while since I did that because, you know, I just look at the paper that comes back.
Yeah.
LabCorp does it for me.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. When it gets up there, maybe, you know, 2-3 points outside the normal range. So hemoglobin's what I was referring to. So yeah, man, you get a hemoglobin in 19-20, start to get, you know, and you're going to notice your hematocrit's going to be high too. They go hand in hand.
Right? Yeah, right. The highest hematocrits that I've seen have been the high 50s, and immediately, you know, that's something that needs to be taken care of right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. So,
yeah, but let's jump over to the emails here and tackle one of those real quick. I have a prescription for 10 milligram Cialis pills, amount 10 pills. So he's got 10 milligrams each. At the local pharmacy, it costs $800. Wow. which shocked me. Yeah, fuck, shocked me too. I looked up coupons and it only dropped to around 600. Do you have any idea why it costs so much? Because it seems like a normal prescribed medication and any ways to get it lowered to a reasonable price.
I think the reason why it costs so much is because our pharmaceutical companies and pharmacies jacked their fucking prices up.
Yeah, like the rapia.
Because you probably, I'm not condoning it, you probably could take your prescription and get it out of the country for $20.
Yeah,
you know,
yep.
Canadian or Indian or whatever else you want to do. And if you really need that medicine, you know, there are programs out there. So one of the things you might want to do is go to the manufacturer's website. I don't remember who makes Cialis, but you could go to Cialis.com, I'm sure. And they always, it'll have a link that says patients, because they want you to take their medicine. They want you to buy their medicine. They will have, I'm sure, coupons to get you, you know, a third tier copay, you know, or something like that, where you'll take the coupon to the pharmacist. And you, if your insurance doesn't cover it, the copay will be like, you know, $30-$40 maybe. I don't know. I'm totally making this up, but that's an option. But yeah, the reason why, it's because they mark up. That's why that, you know, the app like GoodRx is able to save people money. I don't know if he tried that. He mentioned he tried some stuff. That's probably one thing he tried, but they're able to save some people money because they're going to give you the price that it should cost.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to make them pharmacy cover, you know, they got deals where they know how much that medicine costs. I've seen prescriptions from one pharmacy, you know, $150, person goes down the street and it's $50. It's like, how's that three times more? Because that pharmacy is jacking the shit out of that medicine. And certain insurances only cover on their formulary, we're only going to cover this medicine. And, you know, let's say Viagra for you. And it's going to be $10 copay. And if you get anything else, Levitra, Cialis, Staxin, anything else, they're going to make sure that my medicine is too expensive for you to handle. They're going to, you know, I'm actually was just going to look up what my little trusty calculator says about the cost, how much Cialis should cost. Manufacturer pricing. Yeah, on here it says 5 milligram tablet, 30 each, $267. Holy shit.
Wow.
10 milligram tablet, $660. How much did he say? I don't have the.
He said 800, but he says the coupons drops it around 600.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's horrible. I mean,
that's fucking rape, man. That's
money making pharma, buddy. That's the answer I have for you. That's their jacket. It don't cost that much money to make that damn medicine. All you got to do, I'm not condoning this, I'm just saying. All you have to do is look online for any place that sells, maybe research Cialis, mm-hmm. and you'll see how much it costs them to sell it because they're buying the raws for a pennies.
Pennies.
And these farmers are doing the same thing and they're selling it for $800. That's the only thing I can say to you is that it's marked up to make money.
Yeah, it's fucking highway robbery is what it is, man.
And your insurance is going to only want you to take certain things. And so you got to find out what the alternative is. It's probably going to be generic Viagra. That's probably what your insurance will cover, mm-hmm. and it'll be a copay. That's what I would say.
So why can't he get generic Cialis then? I mean, why does he have to go through this pharmacy? Why can't he – I mean, like you said, he's got a prescription. He can take that prescription to, like, Mexico or fucking Canada.
He could go online and I'm not condoning it. You go to a Canadian pharmacy, find a legit Canadian pharmacy, and you fax them your prescription. You could buy it from them and cheaper. People do it all the time in this country, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And oh, yeah.
That's why a lot of old people have to do that because they can't afford their medicine. So they go out of the country or go Canadian and get it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I can't. I think there probably is, but I don't know if Tadalafil is generic yet. I'm sorry. I don't remember. I would, you know, usually if you write Cialis – and it does have a generic. The pharmacist would give you the generic unless your doctor writes brand necessary.
Gotcha.
So, I can't remember if Cialis. You know the way they do generics is, I believe the patent on a brand of medicine is seven years.
7 years, right? Yeah. Any patent is 7 years.
Yeah. After 7 years, people can start making generic of the same medicine. I can't remember if Cialis has a generic or not. I know Viagra for sure does. That for sure does, and that'll cost you a lot less money. But yeah. It's the American way, man. The bottom dollars, man. Dollars.
Yeah. I'm looking right now. I don't think there are generics for Tadalafil. I think there's only two brands. One is Cialis and one is Adcirca.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that same thing you're looking at. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, man, that fucking blows, right? Jeez. But yeah, man, there's ways around it. You just got to be creative. I would not be paying over $100 for 10 pills. That's insanity. I wouldn't even pay $50 for more than 10 pills. That's fucking nuts.
But there's other ways. You can send your prescription to a pharmacy out of the country if they want to be like that. They'll do it. I mean, you know, that's what they're there. People do it every day.
Absolutely. And it's completely legal. Just saying.
Yep. Especially you have a prescription, but yeah, that's a highway robbery. Oh my God. I never even knew it cost that much. I never looked into it. Holy shit. Seattle's is expensive. Fuck.
It's crazy. That's pretty wild.
That's mind blowing for 10 dick pills.
Yeah, man, you can go on any research website and see what the price is for their generic Cialis, and it's for research purposes only. But you know, if you want to give your pet manatee a boner, you can do it at pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, you're your dogs. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but at least you could get an idea of how much the raw material would probably cost.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Doc, what do you say we tackle one more question and then we got to hit the road? What do you say?
Yeah, I got to be out of here in a few minutes, so I got to run up the street and get my therapy.
All right, cool. So let's do this one real quick here. I've been seeing a lot of bodybuilders go vegan and brag about how big or about how you can be big eating no animal products, which I agree, you probably can hold size on minimal protein, but I've never seen a person start as a small guy and start trying to get big eating vegan. All the people that I've that are big, I've seen them gain muscle doing all what all the other bodybuilders do. So do you think, for example, someone weighing 150 pounds grow to, let's say, 200 pounds on a vegan diet?
Listen, I'm one of them guys that I don't like absolutes. So I'm going to say this. What I'm about to say, I don't even agree with, but it's anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah,
you can
sure.
You could be a fat vegan. You know, I could say he's talking about muscle, but I'm saying you could gain 50 pounds eating stuff.
Yep.
Are you going to become a quality bodybuilder without eating meat to start? I would say I just don't believe that. I don't think the amino acid profiles are going to be sufficient enough.
Nope.
I don't think the protein is going to be sufficient enough to build the kind of muscle that someone who wants to put on 50 pounds of muscle is looking for. Can you get to maybe, I don't know, a pretty jacked guy eating meat and whey protein and then decide you want to be vegan and maintain that? Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. You know, if you're not eating in a caloric deficit, this and that. But no, man, I don't believe in that shit. I think we're supposed to eat meat. I think meat has the variety of meats, because everyone has a different amino acid profile. It's going to react differently in your body. And the way you build quality muscle is eating protein from I hate to say it, you know, animal sources. I mean, that's just me. I don't like to get in debates with vegans. Them people are a little bit staunch. Yeah. You know, I'm not into that. You eat what you want. But my answer to his question is no, I don't think you would put on 50 pounds of quality muscle eating vegan. I don't see that. I mean, is it possible? Of course, anything's possible.
You see, I've seen this fucking trend too. I've seen it on Instagram, seen it on Facebook, seen it on I've had people message me about it, and it drives me a little bit crazy, because the people that they're pointing their fingers at, that these guys look phenomenal and they're vegan, those motherfuckers are going to look even more phenomenal had they eaten, you know, animal proteins. You know what I
mean?
Right. It's like, yeah, can you go from 150 pounds to 200 on vegan? Maybe you can. I don't know. Maybe it depends what your genetics are like and your ability to assimilate those foods and your training and whatever else. But I can guarantee you this, if you can put 50 pounds on a vegan diet, you can put 100 pounds on a fucking regular animal protein source diet. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So you're basically not giving yourself the most optimal food intake in order to grow muscle and lose body fat. You're already starting at a deficit. Any vegan that I have – and I'm not talking about fucking high-level vegans that built their body and have amazing genetics to begin with, and they're super lean all the time and they're always going to look good no matter what they eat. Not those guys. Your average vegan is obese, man. All right? They don't they've got way more body fat than they have muscle, and that trend is going to continue. As long as they want to stay vegan, that shit's not going to change, man.
That was my point. I mean, yeah, you can gain weight on anything, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, and maybe you could become I'm not knocking anything. I'm just saying maybe you could become a good physique guy being vegan. you know, because you don't need to be really big. You don't need to be, you just need to be shredded, right? I mean, and maybe you have good genetics. Yeah. But a normal guy like me, that ain't going to happen. I'm not, there ain't nothing. I don't even have that many muscles now. I for sure wouldn't have any if I ate peas all the time or plants. Yeah. Fucking for sure. Soy. I'd have titties. fucking, what else would I have? I mean, there's no way.
You'd have titties, you'd have saddlebags, you know?
I already got that. But yeah, but I definitely would have titties. But yeah, I mean, and you know what? To each his own with that. You want to eat soy and plants and vegetables. Look, and
hey, hemp. People, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. That's the beauty of life. But if you're asking, you know what I mean?
If you're going to be an optimal bodybuilder and get the most, I hate this word, gains, you're going to get through your bodybuilding career, it ain't going to be from eating vegan.
Nope. Yeah. You're just, it's just so limiting on various levels, recuperation, recovery, and anabolism, catabolism, you know, all these things. These things all add up into muscle building and fat loss. You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
It's the ability to create the best environment possible to gain muscle, to lose fat. And with a vegan diet, you're not giving yourself all those tools. You're giving yourself maybe 50% of those tools, so you can expect 50% of the results, you know? I mean, you can't point at these fucking high-level bodybuilders and high-level physiques and be like, that's, you know, he can do it, then I can do it. No, you can't. All right, you need to point your finger at the average vegan person, okay, and see what that diet does to that person. And most likely, that person is going to be, although may not look obese, is probably still obese because they carry higher ratio of body fat to muscle. You know what I mean? So it's like a lot of vegans are obese and don't even realize it. You know what I mean? Just because they're technically skinny, right? But they're skinny fat. That's the problem.
Exactly. I was even thinking that.
So I don't know, man. You know, I could honestly, we could go on a very, very long time on just this subject. I didn't know that this was going to be the next question. And I know that you've got to roll, and so do I. But maybe we pick up a little bit next time and maybe do a little bit of a segment on vegan diets. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to do my research since I never looked into it really because I don't even remotely have a interest in that. But one thing we did not do our health segment this week, because of time.
Lack of time.
But you know what, Leed, I was actually thinking about doing a little. I have seen niacin popping up here and there lately. You take it? Should you not take it? Maybe we'll do a little. Maybe we could do a little veganism. We could do a little of that and do a little niacin talk or something right before because the next show we can babble a little bit more.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like niacin. I like B vitamins altogether. So let's tackle that. And it's important. And a lot of people maybe misunderstand it, I think. So let's do that next time. But Doc, that is it for this quick show. We'll be back real quick next week here, and that's all we got going on, Doc. I know you got to get going.
Gotta roll.
I've got to get some breakfast in me and then get to training too. So, man, on that note, the doctors are out.
See you guys.